Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Hebrews in chapter 11, and verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." By the way, tabernacles, just little simple tents. Don't drive your stakes too deep in this world, because it's not your home. You'll be home when you get home to heaven. This is a pilgrimage. You're just passing through. So you get some bumps in the road and some difficulties along the way and some storms of life. So what? It's just all very, very temporary. Verse 10 says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them for them a city." Heaven is real. Some of my loved ones are living there right now in Christ. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to try to clear that up at the end of the message. But if you'll take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you'll just be wise enough and humble enough to repent of your sin and turn to the only Savior that can wash away all your sin, his name is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who died for you and spilled his blood, went to the grave, and rose again on the third day. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's what the Bible says. "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one way, and it's Jesus. And if you're just be smart enough to take Christ as your Savior, man, you're going to get to go to heaven one day. And what a place that's going to be. John chapter 14, would you turn there? I want to just use this for an introduction here this morning, the rest of the introduction. And verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus is not a deceiver. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven is a place. Heaven is real. I will submit to you this morning with all the authority of the very Word of God, with all of the authority of Holy Writ, that there are people living in heaven right now. And they're more alive than what we are here on this earth. And my simple little boy-like ideas, and it's good to be simple sometimes. I know that God created a garden and put man in that garden, put Adam in that garden. And he fellowshipped with Adam there in the garden. I believe that heaven will be a whole lot like a lot of the same characteristics as the garden. It'll be a place of fellowship with God, a place, a perfect place, a place where there is no sin curse. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But let me simply say this. Heaven is a real place. Jesus said so. Remember the Queen of Sheba traveling to Israel, traveling to Jerusalem to see Solomon and see his men and women worshiping the Lord God Jehovah and all that was going on there? And she went and she made that trip as a believer in Jehovah because she heard all of these great things about Jerusalem. And when she got there, she said, "The half has not been told." He said, it's better than I could have even imagined in my heart. And I want you to know that's exactly how heaven is. "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." No matter how good you think heaven is, I'm telling you, we're going to get there and we're going to say, "Wow, it's better than I thought." Unbelievable joy. Unbelievable fellowship. Well, there's so much to see. You say, "Well, what is heaven going to be like?" Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21. We won't exhaust it, but I'm going to run through some things just as fast as I can. John in chapter 17, you don't have time to turn here, but it's the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17 and verse 24, Jesus said to the Father, praying to the Father, it's the real Lord's Prayer. I cannot wait to show them, talking about you and I, his followers, his children. Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, I cannot, Father, wait to show them heaven. I can think of some beautiful things on this planet in which we live. Even with the sin curse going on. Nothing like heaven. In Revelation in chapter 21, I'll run through this fast. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. At the end of the chapter, and according to verse 2, you see that heaven will be a city of righteousness. I long for that, for I am not a righteous man. In fact, I will tell you as your pastor, I'm not a good man. But I have a Savior that is. And I have his righteousness. And I'm going to his heaven. Verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Heaven is God's home. That's the third abode. Not the first heaven, not the second heaven, but the third heaven. That's where God lives. That's where we are going someday. Verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No tears, no death, no sin curse. It won't be always uphill like it is every day on this planet. No matter what you attempt, if you're an industrious person, you're attempting to get things done, I know exactly how it is in your life because it's the same way in mine. It's uphill every single day. Because we're fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against the world. And we're fighting against the devil. But in heaven, no more sin curse. No more tears. No more sorrow. Can you imagine that? No more fretting. Verse 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. An entirely new way of life. We can see smatterings of beauty in the world in which we live. I love this time of year. This is my favorite time of year. This is it. I love it. You can think without sweating. You can work without sweating real hard. You get up in the morning, the sun is shining, the dew is heavy, the fog gets burnt off. It's a new day, and it's a wonderful, oh, I just love this kind of day. And pretty soon, the trees are going to start to turn color. The problem is it doesn't last very long, but oh, it is a beautiful time of the year. An entirely new way of life. There's beauty in this world, but it's been tainted by man. Everything that you can think of right now that's beautiful, and the only thing you know is what you've experienced. That's all you can relate to. Because we're limited that way. But everything as beautiful as it is, it's still tainted. It's still wrong. It's still a little bit twisted. Won't be that way in heaven. It'll truly be beautiful. Let's read on. Verse 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There's going to be abundance in heaven. There's good preaching in that verse, but can't plant there. Verse 10 says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Pristine glory. Pristine. Everything in this world, you mark it down, you think about it just a little bit, made out of mud, made out of dirt. Everything. Think of all the building materials and all that's out there. It's just mud and wood and straw. That's all it is. Some of it's refined a little bit, but that's all it is. Not in heaven. That's not the way it's going to be. Speaks of the jasper stone here. Verse 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Heaven is huge. Heaven is a place. It's not a state of mind. You don't measure a state of mind. It is a physical place, 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. The city, this world has never known a city like that. It would dwarf every metropolis known to man. It would stretch from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico, from the Mississippi River to the Atlantic Ocean. If it were placed on the continent of Europe, it would cover Great Britain, Ireland, France, Germany, Turkey, and half of Eastern Europe. And we're one-dimensional. That's just one layer. Now it's 1,500 miles high as well, filled with waterfalls and the rivers and boulevards. And what a place it's going to be. Man, I so look forward to heaven. I get a little tired of this world. I get a little tired of the culture that we live in. I get a little tired of my own flesh. Life here on this earth is just a tragic parade. That's all it is. God's going to set everything right. This place called heaven. Place of rest. Chapter 21, place of indescribable beauty. We aren't going to take time to continue to read. Look down to verse 22, though. It says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We're going to live with God. But understand this, it'll be church all the time. We'll be worshiping Him all of the time. Verse 20:23 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. A place of joy, a place of no sin. I can't wait. Heaven. I say, preacher, how long is it going to take to get there? Well, I know to receive my new body will be a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. Let's take the moment to turn there. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. I'll just read verse 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let me read 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Short trip. Short trip. The moment I breathe my last breath and I leave this body, however many seconds or minutes it takes, the moment I leave this body, I'm in the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. Man, I so look forward to that. How long will it take? Won't take long at all. In London, England, there's a tombstone that reads as follows. Beneath these clouds, and understand this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I live in this body, but this body is not me. It's a tabernacle. It's my earthly tabernacle. When I get my glorified body, it will resemble this, but it'll be new. It'll be changed. We know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, the Scripture says. I'll have that glorified body. There's a passage in Philippians. Turn to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven. Our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may not be that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself." I'm going to receive a glorified body. It won't be the body of Christ, but it'll be like unto his body. It'll be glorified. It'll be perfected. I believe we're going to know one another, just like they knew one another on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'll somehow resemble who I am here in this earth, but better. I'll be glorified. One day I'll be released from this body. This body will be resurrected at the trumpet, at the rapture, and my body will meet my spirit, if I die first, will meet my spirit in the Lord, will meet the Lord in the clouds, and will ever be with the Lord. Those that are alive and remain caught up, body, soul, and spirit off of this earth, and meet the Lord in the air. Tombstone in London reads as follows: "Beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lives the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease, it's only his pod. Pease has shelled out and gone home to God." And that's theologically correct. So when Bill dies, and I hope he doesn't, but if he dies before Jesus comes, we'll place his body in a grave somewhere. And his spirit, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord, will be with the Lord. And when the rapture takes place, that old wicked body right there is going to be resurrected. That old evil, evil, vile body will be resurrected and be caught up, and he'll have his glorified body. What a day that's going to be. Matthew chapter 17, where we're going to know one another in heaven. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, Mount of Transfiguration. Before I read it, here's how it is. Moses never met Elijah here on this earth. But here we find Moses and Elijah, Luke chapter 9, more detail. Moses and Elijah discussing Calvary with the Son of God. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah," that's Elijah, "talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias or Elijah." All right, so the point is, just a simple point, Moses and Elijah knew one another. They were different in entity. It was them. It was them. It was they. They were standing there. I believe we are going to know one another in heaven. We will have a body. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Already read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, where our bodies are resurrected. We're going to have a body that every need will be provided for. I believe we're going to eat in heaven. Jesus provided. One guy excited about that. That's here in the auditorium. I think there's more than that. We're going to be able to eat and fellowship. Remember Jesus providing the fish on the and the bread on the seashore in John chapter 21. He was in his glorified body then. We will eat. We will have double cheese, double pepperoni every day we want it, and there'll never be any calories. The sin curse is lifted. We'll all be thin and fit and just the way we ought to be. Our glorified bodies. Seriously, we're going to live with God. We're going to live with Jesus. You say, do the saved in heaven see what is going on here on this earth? I'm quickly running out of time. Go to Luke in chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15, verses 7 and 10. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about being compassed about with the heavenly witnesses, with the glorious heavenly grandstand. The chapter prior to that was the chapter people listed in the hall of faith. People that lived by faith here in this world, and God greatly used them. And then it goes right into chapter 12 and says we are surrounded by these witnesses. What is a witness? A witness is someone who sees something happen. I believe those in heaven that want to see what's going on down here on this earth. You say, you mean my grandma or my mom, my Uncle Billy, whoever it might be that was born again, went home to heaven, they can see what's going on here in this earth. I don't know how it is. God is God. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if there's a special place they go or what. I have no idea, but they're able to. I think they can go to the grandstand. I think they can see what's going on, and they know of it. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, how do they know that sinner's repenting? I think they see what's going on. You know where heaven is? It's to the north. That's scripture. Scientists tell us there's an empty place in space to the north. I may sound real simplistic to you right now, but I believe that's where heaven is, right out there. Right out there. The Bible tells us, Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 2 and 4 says, it caught up into the third heaven. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You say, you really believe that heaven is right out there? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because that's what the Bible says. I don't know how far it is. It's farther than you and I can see. But it's out there. And I believe those that go home to heaven, that's the direction they go in. And I believe those that will be here on this earth during the rapture and caught up to meet the Lord in the air in the clouds, that's the direction. You know, we're eventually going to head up to that direction. It's going to be a wonderful time. Heaven is a real place. Paul said a lot about heaven. He talked about the fact that he wanted to go there, and he wanted to go there right away. First Philippians in chapter 1 and verses 20 through 23. But look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 12. And I'll close the message with this text, but I'm not done yet. Don't think I am. This we read, the writings inspired by God the Holy Spirit of the Apostle Paul, the writings of a man that went to heaven and came back. God allowed it so he could write the Bible. It says here in verse 1, he said, it's not good for me to brag about this, and it wouldn't be because people would misunderstand. So he said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, here's what God showed me. And he speaks in the third person, but understand he's talking about himself. Paul's saying here, I was there. I'm telling you, I know. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, only God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. That's where God lives. First heaven, that's just our atmosphere. Second heaven, that's where the stars are. Third heaven, that's the abode of God. I was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. You know what he's saying in verse 3? It's almost too good to be true. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is, it is not lawful for a man to utter. Listen to Paul. I'll paraphrase. I know I'm getting it right. I'll stay close to the scripture, but it's a paraphrase. You understand it. This is 21st century language, English language. I hope. Uper language. Here we go. I was there. These old eyes, I saw it. I saw things that I cannot describe. The English language doesn't have enough words. You say, you think heaven will be that beautiful? You wait till you see the walls for the first time. The shimmering walls of the celestial city. You wait. You wait. Here I am. I'm going all the way back to a childhood, and all I can relate to is the Wizard of Oz. And that's pathetic, because I watched it once as an adult. That's a cardboard city. But boy, when I was in fourth grade and I saw that, I thought, wow. That is really something. Then I saw it as an adult, watch that old film and as an adult, and you could tell it's a cardboard. See, it's fake. Hey, it's a fake. But not heaven. Wait till you see it for the very first time. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Wow. I've never seen heaven. I know what the Bible says. I've been with people at death that told me, shared with me what they were seeing. Not with a lot of detail. It was like they couldn't do it. Corky, I wasn't there the day he died, but I was there just prior to his death. I know what he told me. Bud, I was there, I think 24 hours before he died. I know what he told me. In the ER, it was ICU, I guess, down in Petoskey. Almost exactly what Corky said. Tell everybody at home, everything is all right. I was leaving. I shared this sometime in the springtime. I want to share it again. You know, we sent a lot of men and women to heaven in the last several years. Do you know that? As far as I'm concerned, too many. But, you know, I hate to say, I miss them all. And if I started naming somebody, people right now, a list of people, I'd forget some of your loved ones, and I don't want to do that. But I remember we were all around, very similar to Corky's situation, all around Bud's bed. And read some scripture and prayed with him. And I knew he was tired and I wanted to leave. And so we started to leave and everybody started to leave. And his wife, her name just slipped my mind. What's Shirley, yeah. She went out right in front of me. I was right behind her. And just before I was to go out the door, Bud said, Pastor, wait a minute. He said, come back. And I closed the door and I went back. And that's what he told me. He said, Pastor, I know I might not make it. I want you to tell everybody it's okay. I said, okay, I will, Bud. He said, no, you don't understand. After last night and what I saw, it's okay. I said, so I'm telling you, maybe for the second time, heaven is real. Those of you that right now are up in years and you're wondering every night, maybe you don't fret. I'm telling you, don't fret. If you're saved, don't fret. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. You better get saved. You better mean business with God. But if you're born again, everything is going to be all right. I don't know if a trumpet sounds. I don't know if there's an announcement made in the great intercom of heaven, you know, so-and-so is due to arrive at such and such. I have no idea. That might be like an airport. I have no idea. But I think that when you go through the gates, there'll be people there waiting for you. Loved ones waiting there for you. Some that you haven't seen for a long, long time. Heaven is real. As sure as there's a hell below, there's a heaven above. You don't need to fabricate or make up anything. Just know what the Bible says. It's real. I started out by saying I'm a Bible thumper and I'm proud of it. I am. I'm also an academic Bible thumper. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. I study the book. I study the Word of God. I just kind of shake my head at what some part-time theologians come up with their false doctrine and how they twist and pervert Scripture in order to get to where they're saying and just leave everything else out instead of letting Scripture interpret Scripture. They let man interpret Scripture. That's a foolish thing to do. The book is clear. One way to God's heaven is Jesus.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.